Okay, a story, a continuation of the previous one. So we have this session there with Pio. Or someone, but I think it should be Pio. When he's going through those, you know, chakras, lokas, those levels of, which, you know, each one of them is a challenge for him, a serious question to him. And where it comes from, I mean, it comes to him from, anyway, from his inner God friend, or those around. And he feels he needs to answer it straightforwardly. So then finally, that last question, that last trial or challenge, the heart level, back to Mahaloka. And why I'm mixing these words, lokas and chakras, into it is because that it's just there in the story. It's a meditation he's doing, and those just come up. He's imagining, you know, he's like lying there and having moved away from the world of the five senses, his closed eyes. He's not looking at the world as if, you know, I mean, you can illustrate it like a sphere where he's seeing it a certain scene being played up, so to speak, or a certain reality that he finds himself in, and as he normally during hypnotherapy, as they learn, is that such inner scenes you can deal with and accept. Don't think about if they're more or less real, but their reality shows itself in as much as it is real to you or concerns or touches your real life. So anyway, there he is. And there is a kind of, you know, we see him now. He's like lying there, and it's all kind of above there, around, you know, and the whole everything. God is here present. And it's like thinking or speaking to someone. It's as if some discussion is going on above his head for a few seconds. And he's just lying there, and he learned it by now, not to question too much of what's going on, but just to accept. So he's kind of just blank, receiving, you know, waiting for whatever is happening next. And then he feels as if, I mean, how to illustrate this, I don't know, in animation it could be easily done. So I'm trying to explain it there. It's as if he hears some kind of tick, click, and it's as if the very fabric of this mental space that he is in, there in Bhuvaloka, in the mind realm, is cracking and a little bit adjusting. And he I mean, maybe you can also remember, but he remembers, so I remember that when I fall asleep sometimes, or when I'm in deep meditation or whatever, just really relaxed and in there somewhere drifting off, I sometimes feel it's a little like a cracking in the fabric of the inner space there. I don't know if anyone has this, just before you fall asleep or sometimes very, and you tend to not remember it. So anyway, that's how he feels. There are these little cracks there, and some, as if the whole space-time was adjusted by a supreme higher intelligence and power who knows the past and present and future for all of us, but of course who is giving us the free will to choose, but then knows exactly what our different choices will lead to and can arrange things. So we choose to walk in that direction at that time, and we meet that person then. Well, those kind of things. And then the little earthlings, they're walking around here, we. Oh, what a coincidence that we met just now. But then we have it here in our story that this is where it can turn into a game. The karma game. At the above here we have the omniscient, omnipotent God, which is definition of God, who's working that way. And that's what he is now feeling, because after all he turned to God and just, you know, can then when you do that sincerely, then God is there and help him, he's answering. And he had that experience before. So there they are. And then P.U. is kind of satisfied. Of course, then it is being said by some voice inner there that now you are together. So P.U. just accepts that, well, probably just wait and see what's going to happen now. But anyway, this gave this author, me talking these words, an idea an hour ago or something for how, I mean, it's already there, I've spoken about it before, but how it can really be refined. The concept for the karma game that you have, because there you have, that was the idea, that you have three worlds, or you have 14 worlds, whatever, and you live and then you die. Death is included in the game, and then rebirth is included in the game, and everything you do, all your decisions are recorded in a database and give you karma, depending on, you know, what you choose in different situations, how you are towards others and so on. And in this way, then you die and you take birth somewhere, and you will find yourself in an environment that corresponds to your nature, your guna, your karma, in the sense that all the activities you have done during your previous lifetime or level or whatever you want to call it in the game determines kind of, you know, you can have an AI making a psychological profile of that gamer. Based on that, you will be placed into an environment and a body, a form, in your next life in a higher realm. Bhuvarsa, Mar, Jana, also whatever, or lower, Patala. All these kind of different darker or brighter realms. And you will be born as one of those people. And some of them are very parasitic in their behavior, and such people, they come there because they have behaved parasitic and selfish and whatever during their human level. So this way the game goes on. But on each one, the dark and the bright level, there may also be people, players, who become more and more powerful. And the more powerful your mass and knowledge and so on, the more influential role you can have in the game. So you kind of can step into inside that same realm and the same life. It's not depending on rebirth, but you can be upgraded to a higher administrative position where you can influence the others in this realm, or in other realms on Earth. So then you have these subtle beings, you know, some of them are beings out in nature making fun, playing games with the humans and being a little tricky, and some of them parasitic and evil, and then you have, you know, depending on which one level here you are, these people are in. They can be angels, angelic, who walk around. I mean, this is a basic fantasy movie scenario, right? And they are more powerful. And then, of course, there are those darkies, the parasites, are also very powerful. So they, and there are, you know, sometimes the conflicts, confrontations between those, and the basic storytelling scenario here, right? But anyway, this is a game, and this is all being played out by people whose roles in the game are then being created by themselves while they are playing the game, through the decisions they make how to act in different situations. You meet a person, you know, an old lady, where you can choose whether to steal her purse or help her across the street, you know, these kind of things all the way. And some of those may be scripted and programmed into the game. Some may be other people who end up in that situation, which would be the best. So in this way, then I thought like this. Let's say now you have someone in that position, look outside of earthly realm, in the Burlok or Sarga or Patala, whatever, but outside. And they have these little humans in there, and those living on Earth in their, on their adventure and in their drama. In other words, playing that game on the earthly level, base level, I think that's where you come in when you join the game. Midgard, the middle world. But then, here you are, and you are in Buvaloka, you're living, you're resident of Buvaloka, looking down into that earth. And then, if you have this administrative ability there, or maybe everyone who is looking at from a, you know, higher level at least of Buvaloka, they can see it that way. They can see, look at a person on Earth. Could be a little bit like you're looking down to a big ball there in front of you. But then you can zoom in to any person there. It's not about a ball, like a spatial geometric figure, but maybe we can show it that way. But it's buzzing life going on there. And that's what it's about. That's how we show it. or us living there in that earthly realm, how the geometry or geography, whatever, actually looks, doesn't really matter. It's as little as it matters, you know, how the big world actually looks like in Minecraft or something. We are here now and this is going on. But then we can zoom out into a person, that specific person here. So I'm sitting now in Bhuvaloka, and I'm looking down into Bhuvaloka, the earthly realm, and I decide to check out a person, maybe someone I knew before I left Earth and came up here, or whatever, someone I happen to care for or about. And the way I see that person, again, I'm trying to show it how it will look like in the game, would be then as a timeline, right? The Einsteinian idea that, you know, a person exists in space-time, not just at a certain time in space right now, but the continuous line of the existence of that person through time. And then we can see, we could show it like that in the game, maybe, that important events, meetings and decisions that had to be made and were made by that person that affected, you know, that path. And you see after that point there, it goes to the right or to the left a little bit more. It means there was a decision between two choices or something. We can see that. And this actually shows real data about that other gamer, because these are gamers now. And you're more powerful, you're more elevated there in the Bhuvaloka level. We are in a game. You can look into those destinies of the other people, or the humans, like that. And but you can also, to some extent, see them, how they continue in the future. And the more powerful you are, the more you can see that. Because, and the way you would see it is that there will be this point here where that person meets another person and there's a decision to be made. And if you make that decision or that decision, then, you know, there are two different branches going out now. It's like a tree structure. And that eventually describe all the possibilities and options for the future, wherein then the individual players, and I'm thinking humans, because this could really be the way it works. The players, they then choose which path they want to walk there in that tree of the future, by making this decision, that decision, this branch or that branch. Now, the more powerful you are, you who are looking from, you know, from the outside and in there, the more you can see of it, and the more, because that takes a lot of intelligence to see, because it gets incredibly complex, right? So there could be some super AI that keeps track of all of that in our game. But then you can manipulate a little bit. And I'm thinking Midsummer Night's Dream, Shakespeare. I mean, these beings outside of the human level who manipulate a little and make those people meet and so on. So you can do that when you have some powers. So it's kind of a matter of powers, but also the level you live on, if you're on the dark side or the bright side or whatever, right? So you can be an evil, powerful person, or a good, powerful person, or powerless but good, powerless but bad. So different factors involved here for how you would be able to get your wishes fulfilled when playing this game. So, yeah. something like that. I mean, we could just continue that, building and building this game, really based on this understanding, this cosmology that you find there, for instance, the Puranas, the Srimad Bhagavatam, that you find in our story.